Right. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the book of Acts, which we have been in here now for the past few weeks, and we'll nearly finish chapter 4. I have just one more message on it when I come back, but we'll begin in chapter 4 today of the book of Acts, and we'll begin at verse 23 with the believer's prayer. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. May God add blessing and understanding to both the reading and hearing of his word. Peter and John had just been sternly threatened. If you look back to last week's text and you begin at verse 17, you'll see there where the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders said this: "But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name," the name of Jesus. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. They had been sternly threatened. The same group of men that had brought Jesus in and orchestrated his crucifixion was the same group of people that now were bringing Peter and John before them and telling them these things. You should not be preaching in this name of Jesus. We want you to stop it right now. And remember, they thought they had taken care of it when Jesus was crucified on the cross. But what did they do? They prayed. They prayed through their problems. That's what I want us to focus on this morning as we think about our problems and what prayer can do in the midst of those problems. What kinds of prayer did they offer? Well, we know from what we just read that they prayed a powerful prayer. The prayers that they prayed were not similar to the prayers that we often pray, such as, God, take away my pain. God, take away my suffering. God, make these things go away so I don't have to deal with them anymore. That's not what they prayed. Rather, they prayed that God would give them the boldness necessary so that they could continue to preach the word of God, which brought them to this mess in the very first place. They were asking for more. Bring it on, in other words. Bring it on. We're going to continue to do what we're going to do, and Lord, you're in charge of it all. So upon their release, now they were released, James and John. When they were released, they found the other believers. Remember, there were several thousand now, and we have the early beginning of the church. This some 6 weeks after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ has now risen to a mega church. We're nearing 10,000 people in a service at that time. And they found these other believers, and they shared with them their experience of what had happened between them and the Jewish leaders of the time. And in the face of this recent persecution, what did they do? They decided to have a prayer. They prayed through their problems. They prayed through the difficulties. And what did they do? They acknowledged God's sovereignty. They prayed a prayer that had been prayed and written by David, King David himself. It's found in Psalm 2, and it's in quotation marks in your scripture for that reason. And it was perhaps a prayer that was prayed just by one of the people, but it was a well-known prayer, and they prayed it. They prayed the prayer that talked about God's sovereignty, that God was sovereign, that he made the heavens and the earth, and that he made all things in him, and that he had all power and all control over all of those things. This is the God to whom they prayed, our God. They came together, they joined together in prayer. This Psalm 2 that was prayed was a familiar passage of Scripture. As I said, it was one from the Psalms. It was one that they no doubt had prayed before. These same believers saw the Jewish leaders here now as they looked at this Scripture passage as a fulfillment of this passage. The nations were in uproar. The nations were raging. That's what was happening here. And the kings, who was the king? King Herod. Who were the rulers? It was Pontius Pilate. This is all being played out and coming together. And the Gentiles represented the people of Israel. All of this came together against Jesus, who was the anointed one, the Messiah. And so while it seemed that, as we think and reflect back, that Jesus was defeated as the anointed one, the Messiah, in fact, just the opposite occurred. Everything played into God, what he had planned, according to God's eternal will and his plan, is what the scriptures tell us. That all those things which had been decided beforehand, that's what the scripture says. These believers that gathered, just like you and me, declared the fact that God was sovereign, that God was in charge, that God was in control of all the heavens and all the earth, no matter what. It was his will and his power that determines all things in this world, and not the power of any army, not the power of any government, or any council, or any person, or any group of people will ever, ever stand in the way of God and his truth. Amen? Amen? We must believe that. We must know that. So, here's the kind of prayer that I would have prayed. Lord, get them. Make them pay. I don't like what they did to Jesus. I don't like what they're doing to me. Make them pay. I want to get even. I want to get back at them for what they've done. That's the kind of prayer that I would have prayed. But that's not the kind of prayer that happened in the Bible. That's why we're here and we need to hear these kinds of messages, right? Even I need to hear these kinds of messages. We all need to hear them. You know, they could have requested this kind of prayer that God would cast some kind of spell on them or make them pay in some way or invoke some kind of evil on them or bring swift and harsh judgment upon them for what they did to Jesus and what they were doing to Peter and John. That's what they could have prayed. But no, they didn't do that. They didn't ask for divine vengeance. And I'm always reminded of the scripture, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." And sometimes we just have to step back and we have to say, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't get it. You're in charge. I'm not the judge. Handle it. I'll pray about it. So these believers did not pray that God would remove these threats from them, because that's what it was. Go out there. Don't you dare preach in the name of Jesus ever again. We don't want to hear any more about it. Go on out there. They didn't ask for them to take away persecution from them. They didn't ask them to take away that. And they didn't seek any kind of protection. And aren't these the very kinds of prayers that we pray? Oh, Lord, place a hedge of protection around me. I can just hear it now. You know, Lord, protect me. Lord, prosper me. Lord, keep me safe. Nothing wrong with those prayers. But in this particular instance, and when they were in harm's way, that's not what they prayed. He said, Lord, make me bold. Give me the boldness that I need. They prayed instead that they would be enabled to be servants of Jesus Christ, that they would be able to go out and preach with great boldness, and that they would display power in the midst of that great boldness. When is the last time that you prayed for God to display his power and his awesomeness? When was the last time you came to church with a fervent prayer in your heart and in within your soul to say, Lord, I want to see you show up today. I want to see your power move. I want to see your hand alive and stretching out across our people and doing marvelous things. When was the last time that you prayed that with great boldness? Lord, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders. When was the last time that you prayed that? These believers prayed and they were not afraid of what was going to happen to them. They weren't concerned about what the religious leaders of the day were going to do to them and their idle threats. They just prayed for more boldness to keep on keeping on. They prayed through their problems. Some people might say that being bold could be perceived as being reckless, that you might be impulsive when you're bold and you just do things off the cuff or say things that you haven't thought about. But I would say that to be bold requires courage, and that's what I see played out here with James, or with John and Peter. I see a courage that they have here, a courage to pray for God to do mighty things, to press on through their fears, to do what is right, asking themselves the question, how can we be bolder? So what does that mean for us? I think there's a few things that we could jot down maybe or think about. That we pray for courage. We pray that God gives us courage to be bold, to go out and do what he would have us to do. I think we can pray that God would give us opportunities, whether it's at work, at school, with a neighbor, with a family member, that we would be presented with an opportunity at just the right time to be able to talk to them about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's secondly. Third, I think we can realize that we're going to get rejection sometime, that we're going to be that we're going to be uncomfortable, that we might be embarrassed. But as we think about these things, we must realize that these are not the typical types of persecution that happened in biblical times. People got turned away, yes, but people were put to death for talking about their faith. And we know even in modern times, there are people today in other countries that are still put to death because of their faith in Jesus. Lastly, we should start to pray that we can be bold even in small ways, because maybe you're just not there to see those big things yet. But I can tell you and assure you that God is able to do even those big things that you may not think he's capable of doing. So what happened after they prayed this prayer? After they prayed this prayer, what happened? The building shook. Wow. Now, I don't remember the exact day that this happened. I know it was a Sunday. But if you were here, you remember that we had a pretty big storm blow through here, right, on a Sunday morning. And I want to say, and I really hope, and wouldn't it be just great if that was Pentecost Sunday? Does anybody remember? I was kind of hoping it would be. Well, you know, we got this hole up here in the ceiling. We saw, somebody in the church saw lightning come through here. And, you know, I think maybe that was just the power of God on display. To say, you know what, I'm still in charge. I'm still in charge. You know, I don't think it was because anybody who hadn't been in church for a while, the old joke about the ceiling won't fall in if you come in. Our ceiling literally fell in. But no, all kidding aside, Understand the fact that God is in control, that he is all-powerful, that he can do whatever he wills to be done. The building shook. That day, there was thunder. I remember it very vividly, and I know that there was lightning, and there was a lot of rain on that day. And sometimes when it thunders, you feel a shake. And even in this part of the country, even though we may not think it happens, every now and again, there's a little tremor here, isn't there? And you feel it shake. I remember growing up, that happened one time, and I didn't know what it was. So we have these kinds of things that happen. The believers, because the building shook, it was an immediate response from God. They took it as an immediate response from God that he was answering their prayer. He heard their prayer, and he was pleased with their prayer. He heard their prayer, and the building shook because their courage was renewed. Their courage was renewed, and they were going to go out and they were going to continue to preach God's message, and they were going to do it with boldness. So notice how these believers first prayed, and think about your prayers. Many times we list our laundry list of prayers for people. Watch over our kids. Protect me from this and that. We do that. Their prayer was first about praising God. It wasn't about them. It wasn't about their needs. It was all about God. And they prayed to God, and they revered his power and his might, that he was in charge of all creation. That's how we should begin our prayers. Then they started talking about their specific problem. Pray through your problems. Here's our problem, Lord. We've got these leaders, and they're coming out against us. They're telling us that we shouldn't be preaching in Jesus' name. Here's our problem. And then what did they do? They asked for his help. Lord, you know all these things have taken place beforehand just as you have willed them. They've played out in prophecy just as you have said in your word in Psalm 2 from King David. They've all played out just as you've said. And then help us deal with these issues. Help us deal with these things. This is a model for us. Sometimes God takes away those problems, but not all the time. As the day draws closer for this doctor to slice my leg open, I'm not excited about that. I wish that God would just take it away and restore it so I wouldn't have to go through that. I really do. And I believe he can. But God is saying, no, that's not the way it's going to go down. I want to teach you some things. I want to teach your people some things through what you're going through. I want to see how you handle it. I want to see how the church handles it. I want to see what takes place as a result of what you're going through. And so, we need to think about that sometimes God allows those problems just to continue on. Not that he created them, but that he works through them, and that even in the midst of all evil and pain and suffering, God will be praised. Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will continue to be in charge of all things. So, we find ourselves amazed at what happened here, don't we? I am. I'm amazed at what happened here. Here are these threats coming from these religious leaders. These are people that know their scriptures. These are people that live, you know, they walk the walk. They talk the talk. But they're the very people that Jesus had problems with because they were all about legalism and not anything about a personal relationship with God. They didn't see it that way. We find ourselves amazed at these guys who narrowly escaped imprisonment and possibly even death but they couldn't find a way. Just like when they were trying to crucify Jesus, it went back and forth between Pontius Pilate and Herod because they couldn't figure out, you know, and Herod mocked Jesus, and Pontius Pilate says, I can't find anything wrong with him. What did he do? And then finally the mobs take over and they say, just give us the murderer Bartimaeus. We want to crucify Jesus. Put him up there on that cross. The same thing is happening here. They couldn't figure out a way. They couldn't figure out a way to get these guys into any trouble. And if they had to put them to death, they would have had to go through the Romans because they were the ones that could do that. And they wouldn't have been able to get permission if it was after sundown. They'd had to wait till the next day. And so they put them in jail and they said, guess what, guys? The next day we're going to let you go, but we don't want you to say any more about Jesus. We don't want you to do any more. The same thing they tried to do to Jesus, shut him up. Because we're threatened by him. We're threatened by his power and his authority and the way that he's riling up these people. We're concerned about that. They prayed, Lord, you are God. You are the God who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the things in them. What a beautiful way to begin prayer. To just remember the goodness of God and all that he created for us. The beauty of this creation. Yes, yes. Begin those prayers. Remember that he is the absolute ruler, that he is the sustainer of life. He is the giver of life. He's the one who gives and the one who takes away. Nothing happens in this world without his knowledge, without him being aware. He is all-knowing, and he does all things for his purpose and for his glory. Remember now, Peter and John were not doing these things for themselves. They wanted God to be glorified through their acts. It wasn't, Lord, let these miracles happen so people will follow us. It was, God, make these things happen so you can be glorified. Then there were those threats. They continued to happen. Just think about our own culture and the many times people have been threatened and bullied to do something that wasn't right. The experience that they were having here was not anything unlike that of which David, King David, had. And he wrote in that psalm, which is quoted here again, why are these nations in an uproar? Why are these people in a rage? The kings of the earth take their stand. The rulers of the world gather together against the Lord, the one that he has anointed. In other words, the one that is the Messiah. Why have they done these things? Their prayer is that same prayer of David that had prayed it years ago and written it down. God's people have always been in trouble. When's the last time you've been in trouble? When is the last time you got in trouble for Jesus? When's the last time you did something that you knew somebody was going to say, oh boy, and you've done it for Jesus? You've done it for the right reason. You've not done it to make anybody mad on purpose, but you've done something. When's the last time you got in trouble for Jesus? Remember I told you last week about Shane Claiborne and an activist and socialist that he's gotten himself in jail as a Christian more than he ever got in trouble before. He became a Christian. Figure that. It's the acid test as to whether we're really following along and doing what God would have us to do. When have you gotten in trouble? If we're obeying God rather than obeying people, we're probably going to get in trouble once in a while. Remember, it was Jesus himself who said that it is blessed, you are blessed, if you're persecuted for righteousness. If you're being persecuted for righteousness, go for it. Then they prayed that God would be in charge of everything. They could pray this prayer that is in verses 27 and 28. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were all gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined beforehand for them to do. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. You're going to hear about that next week if you come. So that's a little bit of a teaser for you. Come and hear how God, through Jesus Christ, was reconciling the world to himself next week. The central source of courage and boldness for the early church was that God was in charge of it all, that he could do anything. Do we still believe that today? Do we still practice that today within our churches? I'm not so sure. We serve a mighty God, a powerful God, yet we turn our attention to worldly people and worldly ideals, and we get far away from the scriptures that God would have us to be part of. He is able to bring good out of the most evil thing that you can conjure up. He is able to shed light in the darkness. That is our God. The final conviction of the church's prayer was that God would confirm the witness of the church, and that he would continue to give these signs and wonders. The very thing, the very difficulty that they were having, because the lame beggar was healed, and he was 40 years old, the scripture tells us. He'd been that way since birth for 40 years. People knew him. And this miracle was performed, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. And that's what started all of this stuff. That's what started all of what we've been talking about the last few weeks. They actually prayed that the Lord would continue to stir up good trouble. They actually prayed that the Lord would continue to do these things so that his name would be praised, that they would give them the boldness and the courage that they needed. And that if you look in the book of Acts and you continue ahead, and I hope you will, look in there and see all of the miraculous signs and wonders. It all started right here in the early church, in the beginning of the church in the New Testament. And it played out because these two men, yes, even that Peter who said, I don't know the man. This is that same Peter. He said, look, I'm going to take a stand. I want to be bold. I want to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you to think about this question over the next few weeks. And I want to hear your answers when I come back. Okay? What are you praying for the Lord to do in our church? What are you praying for the Lord to do in our church? Not what you want to do, not what you think the pastor wants to hear that you want us to do. I want you to pray and ask God to give you courage and boldness as what is it that our church, God's church here at First Baptist, is going to do. I ask you to pray about that very question. This prayer that's in Scripture here today forces us to evaluate our prayers. We need to ask for boldness. We need to ask for miraculous signs and wonders to take place. The Lord's answer was very clear. There was a clear sign by the shaking and the immediate response of the building of which they were in, which was in the temple and probably the same room that they were in before. And this shaking of the temple, then there was a new infiltration of the Spirit that poured out over them. I would ask that that same Spirit outpour to this congregation. Because if that can happen, look out. God's going to do mighty things. God can do mighty things when that can happen. Things that we can anticipate that he would do. And we would have immediate responses and signs. It says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they continued to speak God's word with boldness, verse 31. What did they do? They continued preaching. They continued on doing what God asked them to do in his name and for his glory. So what does this look like for you and me as we close this morning? What does this mean for us? How can we apply this to our faith this morning? How would we act if all of a sudden a bunch of religious leaders called us in and said, don't have church anymore? We come in and all these people told us, you know what, don't preach the name of Jesus anymore. There are countries like that, you know? Maybe it would be some act of love that you have put off, that you know you need to do, but you've just put it off. Maybe it's that opportunity to share faith, and you know the person that I'm talking about. I don't know, but you know. That person at work, that person at school, that neighbor, that family member, you put off talking to them. Pray that God will give you that opportunity to speak to them. Maybe you've neglected it because you're embarrassed. Maybe you've neglected it because you're just timid, and there's just nothing, you just can't do it. You just can't muster up. Pray for courage. Pray for boldness, because you can do it, and you won't be alone. Maybe it's forgiveness that you need to offer to someone. You've been holding that grudge. You want to get even. You want to pray to God and make them pay. God's saying, pray for that forgiveness today. He's saying that to you. Pray for that forgiveness. Maybe you're supposed to take a stand for God, and you're supposed to speak forthrightly from Scripture about something that you feel strongly about, that God has laid upon your heart. But most of all, I hope and I pray that as you contemplate what we've heard here today, and as we've looked at this prayer as a model example for how we should pray as believers, that we would look to God for guidance, that we would lift Him up, that we would realize that He is all-powerful, that He is all-knowing, and that we would do that regardless of the cost to us, whether it's the 10, 20 extra dollars a month or week, whether it's taking a stand, that person at work that's being bullied, and that you stand up and say, that's enough. We don't treat people that way. Maybe it's taking a stand for Jesus in your place of employment or in your home and saying, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Whatever it is that God is speaking to you about, pray that God will fill you afresh and anew today with the Holy Spirit, and that in that power you can act in boldness with courage. Do you believe these things? Do you believe these things? Yes. Let the church say amen.